We are just about 3 months away from the presidential election, and Georgia is a key battleground state for Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. But a recent Atlanta Journal-Constitution poll shows Clinton with a slight edge over Trump within the margin of error. There could be problems with voting, though. That's according to the Brennan Center for Justice at New York University. It says most states, including Georgia, rely on electronic voting machines that are at least a decade old and prone to failures. Merle King joins me now. He's the executive director at Kennesaw State University's Center for Election Systems. Merle's in Columbus. And Merle, you're actually testing voting equipment in Columbus, right?
That's correct.
So when we say that these are outdated machines and software, what do we mean? How outdated are they?
Well, I think a key point is to keep in mind that voting system technology is not consumer technology. So unlike your iPhone or an iPad that is updated every couple of months, a voting system, once you define its functionality, wrapped in a certification envelope. And the need to be innovative within that certification envelope is really diminished. So the core purpose of a voting system is to capture voter intent, tabulate those votes, and report them accurately. And that really hasn't changed since we've started using technology for voting.
Well, but they can be, they any software, any electronic machine can crash or be vulnerable to hackers. I want to play this comment from Lawrence Norden of the Brennan Center, and he points out that the Georgia's voting machines rely on a system that uses Windows 2000.
There certainly are security risks with older systems. In fact, the state of Virginia just decertified a system that was used in 24% of the precincts because they found with an iPhone or another smartphone, somebody could, in fact, hack into the machine, essentially take it over and switch votes. I think our security for voting systems has gotten a lot better, but it's very troubling that these older machines have security risks.
So, Merle, there's two different issues here. There's the risk of a machine crashing, and then there's the risk of hacking. How severe would you think either of those risks are here in Georgia?
Well, for the first one, that's a known rate in Georgia. We've been monitoring our voting system since its deployment in 2002, and we know that we have about a 1% failure rate per annum on the devices. That means every time we retest them, about 1% fail. Those units are then pulled, repaired, tested again, and if they pass testing, returned to inventory and use. So that's a pretty reliable statistic given the fact we have about 40,000 pieces of equipment. The second, and what Lawrence was referring to, was technology used in Virginia that was never certified by the EAC, the Election Assistance Commission. Could not have been certified because it was known that it had an open Wi-Fi access port. The systems that are used in Georgia have no Wi-Fi access, are never connected to the Internet, and don't have that same vulnerability profile as the systems that Lawrence referred to.
So let's hear one more comment from Lawrence Norden before I move on to from the age of the machines. Again, Lawrence Norden with the Brennan Center's Democracy Program. Here he is speaking on RT America News Channel.
What we found in talking to election officials about the kinds of problems that start to occur more as machines get older, worst kinds of problems are machine failures, where they have to take the machine out of service because they're not operating properly, because they crash.
Now, you say that in testing that there's always been about a 1% rate of failure. Does that not change as the machines age?
No, it hasn't. And that surprised us initially. But in Georgia, there's pretty strict requirements on the storage and maintenance of the systems. We have state election board rules that require the systems to be maintained in specific ways. And you don't see that really across the country, the same kind of uniform storage and maintenance requirements that we have here in Georgia.
However, there has been a nationwide call to action for voting systems in the U.S. Back in 2014, early 2014, a bipartisan commission in Washington sent out this warning, and I'm going to quote it. They say there is a, quote, impending crisis from the widespread wearing out of voting machines purchased a decade ago. Jurisdictions do not have the money to purchase new machines, and legal and market constraints prevent the development of machines they would want, even if they had funds. End quote. Do you feel as though, in Georgia at least, that there's no cause for concern?
Well, no. I mean, no election official ever rests on their laurels. We're always concerned. We're always vigilant in trying to not only look at the system's current status, but look over the horizon towards issues like consumables. Can we still get parts? Can we still get memory cards? The kind of things that you need to actually execute the election. But the notion that you have 55 election jurisdictions in the U.S., that boils down to about 10,000 actual jurisdictions that are purchasing, storing, and using this equipment. There's a tremendous amount of variety, and although it's tempting to generalize across the whole country, you really have to drill down and look at each state and each county in detail to understand the scope of the risk.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking about voting machines here in Georgia. My guest is Merle King. He's the executive director at Kennesaw State University Center for Election Systems. So you are reassuring because there are a lot of people worried about it. But Tom Hicks, who's with the U.S. EAC, the Election Assistance Commission, said, our voting equipment is old and past its usefulness. We're getting by with Band-Aids. At what point, Merle, does Georgia need to just replace its machines? I understand that they actually had to have a contractor build a custom build a server in order for us to continue using Windows 2000s on the machines. At what point do we just need to get a new system?
Well, one of the services that we provide to the Secretary of State's office is after every election, we do an after-event analysis. What kind of issues did we have? Did we have any anomalies in the system? Are there trends that are starting? And so we try to provide the Secretary with this two-year rolling window that what we're looking for is, does the failure rate in our system begin to accelerate? Do we start to see trends and patterns that we have no good mitigation for? And the reason for that two-year rolling window is that Georgia uses a uniform voting system, which means when we change our voting system, it's all or none. We have to change it out in 159 counties, and the cost for doing so could be considerable and really involves the legislature as well as the Secretary of State and the governor's office in making those kind of decisions. So right now we feel confident, certainly through the 2016 cycle and really through the 2018 cycle. And then as we get closer to the 2018, we are monitoring and we keep the Secretary of State informed in terms of any trends or patterns. We also do a lot of work with the vendor who supports our system in working to find other spare parts, consumables, things that we need to keep the system going. And we, again, inform the Secretary of State of those inventory levels if they start to drop below an acceptable level.
Let me read you this tweet from Doug Patton, who's in Southwest Georgia. He says, the future of secure and accessible voting resides in our personal devices. What are your thoughts on making voting something that someone can do on a phone, a tablet, or online?
Well, the caller, the fellow just sent in the message, certainly identifying an important trend in e-government solutions. If you look across the spectrum, the kinds of things that you can do online, interacting with government, voting is really an outlier. But as he correctly points out, there's a tension between accessibility and security. The more accessible you make a system, and accessibility has a specific definition within the voting system domain. It talks about the ability of users of the system to participate in the process regardless of any disability they may have, vision, hearing, cognitive, etc. And what we know is that there's a great deal of customization on accessibility with personal devices, and many voters in the disability community would like to be able to use their personal devices to cast a ballot. But the tension then becomes with security. How how do we ensure the security of the ballot all the way through the process. And there's some emerging technologies that may be promising in that regard. I think eventually it will come, but it may come less as a result of planning and more as a result of circumstance. And the scenario that I always use in Georgia is if we had a hurricane, a catastrophic event that required us to send a large number of first responders and National Guard to a coastal area to deliver support, and it happened to coincide with an election, would we permit those voters to cast their ballots electronically? And obviously that's both an operational and a political decision, but I think it's those kind of circumstances that may usher in online voting in a hurry rather than a more planned and methodical approach.
So in the last 30 seconds or so that we have, Merle, on a scale of 1 to 10, what are your concerns that we could see serious failures of voting machines come November 8th if there's high turnout?
It's very, very low. First of all,
like a 2 or 3, maybe?
Lower than that.
Oh.
Really? And a big part of it is we now have 21 days of advance voting that kind of disseminates the pressure on election day.
Yeah.
So if there's any issues with the ballot, we're going to find that out 20 days before the election because voters will be in there voting on those. So there's so many safeguards built in the system. I don't have any concerns about large-scale disruptions, but there's always small things that happen in every election.
That is Merle King. He is the executive director at Kennesaw State University's Center for Election Systems. Thank you so much, Merle.
It's my pleasure.